went to the Gentiles. He said, it's not fit to give the children's meat to the dogs. So he means that that's the Roman. He's being saying, Gentiles have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. That includes the leaders of the priests and the people, because they had judged themselves to be dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. It should say, from the horns of the bulls, period. For thou hast heard me. I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him all the seed of Israel. This is the last verse I want to go here, because it goes on to really, you see in this the promise of resurrection as well, but it's hinted at. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. You know, a lot of people, they teach that when Christ was on the cross, that God turned his back on Jesus. That God had forsaken Christ. God never forsook Christ. Jesus is quoting the psalm. But that does not mean that he did not feel forsaken or feel every feeling that you would expect a man in such a position to feel. He felt forsaken. He felt abandoned. He felt alone. But God had not forsaken him. But that did not mean he did not feel it exactly as any man would feel it. The absolute forsakenness that he felt on the cross. Because I tell you what, when I go to suffer something, I feel forsaken. But you know what? God is still with me. He hasn't hid his face from me. He hasn't turned his back on me. I feel like he turned his back on me, but he hasn't. Jesus the same way. He felt like God turned his back on him. He felt like God had forsaken him. But it says in the psalm, God hath not hid his face from him. He hath not forsaken him. He has not turned his back on him. That whole doctrine of he turned his back on him because Jesus became sin. Hogwash. Poppycock. Nonsense. It's ridiculous. It's unnecessary. When it says Jesus became sin for us, it is only by way of analogy. He became sin for us. He became a curse for us. And that doesn't mean God forsook him. God cannot forsake God. They are one. You'd have to say that Christ and God suddenly didn't become one anymore. God can't forsake Christ. Ever. He can't. Because they are one. And though they're distinct persons, they are one. And God doesn't turn his back on his son. No. Even if he does become sin, he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. But God is of pure eyes. He can't look on evil. God looks at evil all the time. It's just a figure of speech. It just means he hates evil. But looking at Christ crucified and becoming sin, that's beautiful to God. You think he turned his back on that moment? The thing for which he sent his son into the world? The moment of glory? I mean, because it was glory. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and the worst moment is the greatest moment, and the greatest moment is the least. It doesn't take away from that which is great, but I'm just saying. The triumph of the resurrection is great. The triumph of the cross is even greater, because it symbolizes Christ. It doesn't symbolize, it represents the overcoming of sin. It represents his complete subjection to God's will. And the resurrection merely represents God's faithfulness to raise him up. God hadn't turned his back on him. God did not turn his back on Christ and the cross. Throw that away. It's an unnecessary teaching. And it takes away from something that's beautiful here, that he felt forsaken, just like you can feel forsaken. But just because you feel forsaken, just because you've got a little sin on you, does not mean that God has turned his back on you. It does not mean that God has forsaken you. It does not mean that the way you feel is a reflection of reality. Christ's feelings on the cross had nothing to do with what was really happening. What was really happening is God was with him every step of the way. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. If God can't look on sin, then no Christian has any portion with God, and the Holy Spirit can't go into any of you who think you can sin. And who not only think you can sin, but who actually do sin. If you commit sin, then God is not with you. God isn't anywhere near you. You don't have God's Spirit, because God can't get anywhere near sin. Ha! Oh, but he cleanses us by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus? What's good with that? Because he became sin when he shed his blood. His blood was shed for sin. So God can't... what I'm saying is, you go down, if you continue in that logic, it just gets into a mess of things that I think are wrong. And they are wrong. We don't need all that. God turned his back on Jesus. What's the point of that? That's not a good doctrine. It's not a sound doctrine. This is a sound doctrine. That God will not turn his back on you, no matter what. You know, we already believe that. Why do you believe suddenly on the cross that becomes void? Well, because God can't look on sin and Jesus became sin. That's a crappy story. Pardon me. It's a bunch of dung. It is crappy. That word fits it to a T. Because you make God into a big jerk. They're one. They're one. I and my Father are one. How could the Father, who is one with the Son, turn his back on him? Not really. I mean, in that he was suffering him to be crucified, you could say that's turning his back on him, but not really. He was with him the whole way. Christ was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And God approved of it the whole way. God approved of his Son. He became sin for us. That's just by way of judgment and transfer. It doesn't mean that now I can't look at Jesus because he's being sin right now. What a ridiculous idea. No, wrong, wrong, wrong. I hate that teaching. I hate it. I love righteousness and I hate iniquity. And that teaching is iniquity. Cast it aside. Boy, Paul, you should get uptight about that. Yeah, I don't know why. I feel so strongly against it. So strongly. I don't like it. It's wrong. God has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, God heard. God heard his prayer. God, God, why have you forsaken me? God heard him. And he did not forsake him. Do you know what it means to forsake? If God had forsaken Christ, he wouldn't have raised him from the dead. If in his death he became sin for us, when did he stop being sin for us? Well, he made him to be sin for us, it's by way of judgmental transfer. And his death was sin for us. Meaning, his death put to death sin in the flesh. He hath put to death sin in the flesh for us. It's not the man that became sin. It was that death. Because he didn't deserve to die for sin. We deserve to die for sin. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son, and by his death, he transfers our guilt